Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Title of the message, Brother John, I am, yet not I. I am, yet not I. I want to read something to you. Is it on now? I want to read something to you that was sent to me, and I don't know if fellas do this just to get my dander up, but it works. There's a young man, he was 15 years old, I believe. Brother Jim sent this to me, I think. And it says, since the Pledge of Allegiance and the Lord's Prayer are not allowed in most public schools anymore because the word God is mentioned, a kid in Arizona wrote the attached for his new school prayer. Now I sit me down in school where praying is against the rule, for this great nation under God finds mention of him very odd. If scripture now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights, and any time my head I bow becomes a federal matter now. Our hair can be purple, orange, or green. That's no offense. It's freedom seen. The law is specific. The law is precise. Prayers spoken aloud are a serious vice. For praying in a public hall might offend someone with no faith at all. In silence alone we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the state. We're allowed to cuss and dress like freaks and pierce our noses, tongues, and cheeks. They've outlawed guns, but first the Bible. To quote God's book makes me liable. We can elect a pregnant senior queen and the unwed daddy, our senior king. It's inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We're taught that such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and birth control, study witchcraft, vampires, and totem poles. But the Ten Commandments are not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It's scary here, I must confess. When chaos reigns, the school's a mess. So, Lord, this silent plea I make, should I be shot? My soul, please take. Amen. Now listen, the reason I read that to you is this. Do not get duped into thinking that right is wrong. Good night in the morning. We hear all these things about what we must understand and we must tolerate. I'm sick and tired of the toleration. Good night. Here's the thing. And I do my dead level best to run the school this way. I write a handbook and I write policy that it's on paper, so when a kid ends up getting asked to leave or gets excused from school, I have the policy to go back to. I have words that have been approved by the pastor and approved by the men. These are how we're going to run this school. If you break these rules, you broke the rules, you are excusing yourself. That's what this is. Amen. It's a policy book that tells you the homosexual crowd is wrong.
That's right.
Well, brother, I don't believe you. Doesn't matter. I'm holding the policy.
Amen.
Well, it must be wrong to have kids have premarital sex.
That's right.
I'll go back to the policy.
Amen.
I would to God that we as people would understand that what's going on in this world right now is a mess. All right, I'll stop talking about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's all stand together as we read the Word of God. Just one verse. And I hope you get this today. I hope you get this today. But by the grace of God, I hope you get this today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. I'll take my time. If you're not there, I want you to get there. I want you to see this. Don't listen to me. Listen to this. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, listen to this now. I hope you get this. But his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I hope you get this today. Brother Rod Black, could you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, what a privilege it is to be in your house today. Lord, just getting ready to feast on your word. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your servant, Brother Dave, and use him, Father, to convey the message that you've put on his heart. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to receive it, and Lord, that our lives would be changed by the message that you have for us today. Now, we just pray that you would settle us all, that we'd listen very attentively, and speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It is no secret that next to Jesus Christ, my favorite person in the Bible is Paul. My favorite person in the Bible is Paul for a very specific reason, and it's not even that difficult to understand. He is willing to make the statement, "O wretched man that I am." Paul is an example of somebody that started out in a very good home. He started out in a religious crowd. He was brought up in the religious hierarchy of his day. He was a student at the feet of Gamaliel and learned all this perfectly, being zealous toward God, but without knowledge. Persecuting to death and or bonds Christians and the churches. Then the Lord visiting him on the road to Damascus. Now listen, I love to set a foundation before I talk to you about something, but Paul is somebody that's intriguing to me. Paul is somebody that if I was to pick somebody to use, it wouldn't be him. If Paul filled out a resume to be your pastor, you'd laugh at him. You'd laugh at him because he was somebody that was there for the stoning of Stephen, holding the coats. He was somebody that persecuted Christians. He went specifically with letters in his hands to pull Christians out of their homes and put them in prison bonds because of being a Christian. He was not somebody that you'd want praying for you. He is not somebody that you'd want with you. He was somebody that everybody was afraid of. He was a person that was far worse off than anybody that I know in this room in his actions. I don't believe any of you have come into this church at any time and pulled somebody out and put them in jail because they were in church. I understand, back in those days, they didn't have church like we have where they put up a sign that says Jerusalem Baptist Church. If you were in a church that preached the Word of God, you were killed for it more than likely. And if you weren't killed for it, you were beat to death over it. And you were beat half to death over it if you even whispered the word Jesus Christ. Paul was a person that was one of those people that went around and got those people. He was one of those people that went around and collected the saints and took them to prison. And then later on in Paul's life, he went to prison for the very cause that he was fighting against. Paul's an intriguing person. What's intriguing to me is that the Lord used him in so many ways. The Lord used him to preach his word. The Lord used him to propagate the gospel. Aside from Jesus Christ, Paul, probably the greatest missionary to ever walk the face of the earth. He was somebody that if you would look at Paul and say, if you had him to pick when he was Saul, you'd say there's no way God could use him. If you'd be honest with me, you've got somebody in the back of your mind that you would never think God could use. Go back to when I was a kid, 16, 17 years old. I was saved. 11 years old, I got saved. Oh, I know what happens is this. You get saved and you're always right. You always lead a good life after you're saved. I hear testimony after testimony of preachers, well, I led a devil life and then I got saved. I led an all right, pretty good kid life and then I got saved. And then I became the devil's child. I didn't lose my salvation. I lost my mind. Hair down to the middle of my back. Doing things I ought not do. That's not a trophy case to me, brother. That's wasted years. You need to hear this. I don't like preachers that talk about glory to God over the sin I used to have. Are you kidding me? It was the worst time of my life. It's not a trophy case. It was me being a delinquent. It was me being wrong. And if you'd search your heart, the things that you're doing in your life, you're wasting your time. The things that you're doing in your life, the sin that you're doing, the things that you're into that are keeping you out of church and keeping you out of God's service, aren't you glad you came? Keep you out of God, church and out of God's service, those things right now, boy, get rid of them. because God can use you. Paul was a person that if you looked at him, if you stood me standing next to somebody that was a good Christian young man, you stood me there next to that person, you'd say, there's no way that man's going to ever serve God. But by the grace of God, there go I. I went to a get-together yesterday. My little second cousin graduated from high school. Praise the Lord, we never thought he would. 35 years old. I'm just kidding. He's 18. He graduated on time. praise the Lord. Graduated from high school. And I think about some of the other folks that were part of the family. And I'm sure every one of you have one in your family. Or I have like loads of them. Of people that are not serving God at this time. And I'm not going to sit here and talk bad about people. But what I am going to say is this. I sat there and contemplated myself yesterday thinking, you know, boy, it's a shame. It's a shame that they're not serving God. It's a shame that their life has turned out the way that it has. It's a shame that the things are happening in their life that are happening. It's a shame that they're going through the things and doing the things that they're doing. It's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame. And then I got a hold of myself when I was sitting there saying, but by the grace of God, there go I. I can't believe, looking back on my life, that I'm preaching today. Can't believe it. I can't, and if you'd be honest with yourself, can you believe you're in church right now? The things that you have had in your life and the things that you are currently doing in your life, it's a miracle you're here today. But by the grace of God, there go I. I want you to see this. To me, it won't take long, but boy, this is one thing that I want you to get a hold of, and then I'm going to bring it down at the end, and you may not like it, but praise the Lord anyhow. Look at chapter 15 and verse 1. He delivers the gospel. I like this. We didn't have to go all the way back here, but I feel impressed to do it, so this is what we're going to do. 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Look at this. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Or wrap your head around that a minute. Look at this. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Glory to God. And then he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. They've died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And look at this in verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. How many years did Saul waste? How many years did he waste? Instead of persecuting Christians, you should have been winning them. For I am the least of the apostles. I don't know of an apostle that did more than Paul. Okay, think with me. Just think with me a little bit. Paul, could you imagine, and I know the rest of the apostles had this too, but can you imagine the ability to heal somebody? That Jesus gave him the ability to do that. Can you imagine that? If I had the ability to heal people, I could just touch them and I'd be the most popular person I know. Can you imagine having the ability, Jesus working through you, that have the lame, this one person folded in half, Jesus touch him and they straighten out. Can you imagine having somebody that can't see and you being able to heal the blind? Can you imagine being able to heal the lame and all diverse and getting the devils to, can you imagine being able to do that? Paul, the least of the apostles, was somebody that recognized his humility, that recognized him being undone, that recognized it was Jesus working through him. Out of all the apostles that I've studied and looked into, Paul had the greatest reason to boast. Paul had the greatest reason to stand up and say, look at me. And yet he never did. As a matter of fact, he admitted it to you through it. Through Scripture. He wrote it down so you all could see it. He wrote it down so for ages and ages and ages you would see the Scripture that said, the things that I would, I do not. The things that I allow not. I would that I was right, but I'm not. Oh, wretched man that I am! He wrote it down so you could see it. And I'm going to tell you, that gives me great hope. That gives me great hope for the rest of these scriptures that we're going to read today. We've got a job to do. I've never wrapped my head around that more than I have this last few years. Our time grows short, Christian. Our time grows short, and it's time that we realize the job that we have at hand is winning people, telling them about Christ, and taking every minute instead of wasting moments. Instead of doing what we want to do, doing what we ought to do, and then changing what we ought to do to what we want to do. There's a big difference there. I think you should come out Saturdays because you ought to. Well, I got seven amens. That's God's perfect number. We can start there. I would to God that you'd change your ought to a want to. See, that's the difference between being a good and faithful servant and just being a servant. See, a good and faithful servant in my eyes is somebody that desires to do that. I desire to stand up and preach to you. I want to do it. I was not that I ought to. Somebody ought to be here. I want to be here. I like to preach. I like to yell at you. I have fun standing up here. Man, preachers, this is our vacation time. It's the rest of the week that's not good. I hear preachers all the time, man, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. Let's continue to read. Look at this now. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle. Why? And he never let loose of this. Because I persecuted the church of God. Oh, I would never. I like it, but hang on just a minute now. Don't turn me off until you hear the whole song. I'd never persecute the church of God. When's the last time you talked bad about another Christian? When's the last time you talked bad about your preacher? Don't do it in my presence, by the way. When's the last time you talked bad about Brother Dave? And don't say this morning. And don't say right now. See? Sinner. Let me explain something to you. I persecute the church of God because I go against sometimes other Christians that are out there trying to do something for God. Come on now. Listen to this. We get ourselves into a position that's a very precarious one at best. We walk on thin ice all the time because we rise to a place thinking higher of ourselves than we ought to think. Not thinking soberly. Thinking that we are better than they. I'll never forget. Oh my goodness, you want to get your heart ripped out, go on the bus ministry. Yes, sir. You want to get your heart ripped out, you go on the bus ministry. I'll never forget. I think I was with Eddie. We have Christmas gift giveaway. I don't know how long we've been doing that, but it's one of the greatest things, in my opinion, it's the greatest thing. Some of these kids never get presents. You don't know what that's like. You know what it's like. I'm talking nobody even cared enough to even tell them Christmas was coming. In my household, I'm telling you, we started talking about Christmas on December 26th. Man, what am I going to get next year? My foot-long candy cane, big, thick, it's already gone. I can't wait. I'll never forget, we had about, 30, 40 left over one year. And Brother Eddie, I said, man, Brother Eddie, do you know anybody that we could deliver these to? We got them left over. I just don't want them to sit around. Who would want a present to sit around? So we decided, let's go. And we picked out a family. And we took it over to their house. They opened up the door. Man, it was like the greatest thing in the whole wide world. There was no Christmas tree in there. That's just a half of it. The parents were passed out on the floor. No furniture in the house. No food. And we gave these kids presents. They were so excited. And it was just simple stuff. We didn't buy him a race car or It's just simple stuff. And my heart realized something. What makes me different from them? But by the grace of God, there go I. We don't take any time as Christians to think about what we could be. A 90-year-old lady, 89, she's going to be 90, got saved yesterday. I don't know where she, I mean, I know where she lives, but I don't know what kind of condition she lives in. But I do know this. Her conditions just got infinitely better. What happens if Ron Brown doesn't come to church that day when I got saved? What happens if Pastor Skyver doesn't start that church down on Galena Street? What happens if my aunt and uncle don't get saved? What happens if they don't take me to church? But by the grace of God, there go I. What you got to understand is when Paul starts to talk here and the Lord puts these words through him, and it's amazing to me that Paul was so ready to be used. Somebody that had this, because you got to understand something. He was somebody that was so against Jesus Christ and then became so for him. Do you understand what I'm saying? He was somebody that was so against the things of Christ. Then he turned around and was one of the greatest Christians that ever walked the earth. What did salvation do for you? That's good preaching right there. If you just sit and think with me for a minute, what did salvation do for you? Did it just something that you, and I tell you, I got saved and it's a good thing he did. I'm somebody God can use now. God, it's a good thing God came down and saved me. I'll make a difference in the world. Do you realize that when we got saved, we were people that were dangling on a thread above hell? But by the grace of God, there go I. And he saved your dirty carcass. Your carcass is still dirty. He's just looking through his son's blood now. Look at this. But by the grace of God, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. The first part of this message is I am. I am what I am because of him. You are what you are because of him. Let me help you a little bit. This got me excited. Don't complain about who you are. Because who you are is because of him. So when you're thinking about, how many in here are saved today? You know for sure, dead dog, diggity ding ding dong, sure, that you're going to heaven when you die. Hold up them hands real big and tall. I think just about everybody's hand went up in this place. You may put them down. Let me tell you something. You're going to heaven because of him. Not because of what you did, bucko, because of what he did. Glory to God, if you got nothing else, that's more than you deserved. So you got to understand something. I am what I am because of him. You can also be what you are because of you. You decide, listen, you can give full credit and availability to him. I am what I am because of him. Or you can say, I am what I am because of what I want to do. Amen. There's two sides to this coin. I know a lot of Christians that are what they are because of themselves. I tell this to the teenagers all the time. With teenagers, well, I made bad decisions because my mom and daddy are bad. Baloney. You make your own decisions. They can't wait to make their own decisions, and when they're bad ones, they blame it on you. Heart of God, I never forget what I told my dad, Brother Rod. I'll never forget this story. My dad is one of the kindest fellas you ever meet. I go to my dad and I said, I'm sick and tired of people making decisions for me, Dad. I'm sick and tired of living under the authority of somebody else. I'm going to join the army. My dad looked down at me and said, what? What? Son, you don't get to make a decision.
in the army. The last decision you'll ever make, my son, is when you sign your name. Then the decisions will be removed from you for the rest of your life. You don't want to be under authority. You're going to the wrong place. What it was, I was a rebellious kid that didn't want to be under the authority of my dad. And let me explain something to you. You like this, parents. Kids don't get a vote. I hope and pray you hear me today. Don't get your kids around for a powwow and say, kids, what do you think we should do about the house and about this and about that? Kids don't get a vote. I pay the bills. You're not, listen, you're there. You provide for your children. You don't live for your children. I love that thought process. I live for my kids. You dummy. Good Lord, have mercy. Live for your spouse. I didn't even have this plan. Somebody must have needed marriage counseling this morning. Live for your spouse. I love my children. Don't make any mistake. I love my daughter. I love Tiffany. And I'm going to tell you right now. Yeah, I love Luke too. But understand this. My daughter's under my authority. She's not my friend. She's not my buddy. Although she is my friend and my buddy, she's not, we're not BFFs. She's my daughter. It's my job as a dad to make sure she goes right. Amen. I get sick and tired of these parents. Well, I don't want to push my kids too hard in one direction or the other because they might rebel. They're going to rebel. Push them. They're going to rebel no matter what you do. And by the way, if you don't do your job as a parent, shame on you. I get this all the time. Well, glory to God, you keep telling your kids no, eventually you're going to do it anyhow. Let me explain something to you. They're going to do it anyways. Do your job. Do your job as a mom and dad and teach them right from wrong. Do your job as a mom and dad and get inside that book and learn how it is to rear a child. I'm 41. I do not have all the answers. Matter of fact, I don't even have one-tenth of the answers that I need to be a good dad. I pray to God every day, Lord, please help me to make the right decisions with my children because God knows I can't do it. The problem is with us, we don't realize it's God doing it because we don't allow him to do it. If you would give your children over to the Lord. I know family. Listen, I know good families that their kids have turned out bad. I know that. I'm well aware of that. I'm well aware of very bad families that kids have turned out good. Look through the scriptures. You see kings' sons that turned out great, kings that were terrible, and vice versa. So because of that, we as parents can decide, nah, I'm not going to do it because our kids are going to turn out the way they're going to turn out anyways. Do you see the stupidity of that? My daughter can turn out the way she wants to turn out. If she turns out wrong, I'll kill her. No, she can turn out the way she wants to turn out, but she can't look back at me and say, my daddy gave me alcohol. She can't look back and say, my daddy told me it was okay to have premarital sex. She can't look back at her daddy and say, she may do those things, but she can't look back here and say that. I had parents that would hand me the stuff going out the door to sin. Not me. I want my kids to turn out right. They may not. But as a parent, you've got a literal responsibility. If you're a Christian, you better look at what God wants you to do with your children. I didn't have any of that planned. But what you must understand is this. But by the grace of God, there go I. So if you decide that I am not going to use God's grace, I'm going to go and be what I am because that's what I want to be, don't be surprised when it doesn't go well. Look at what this says now. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, look at this next statement, was not in vain. I would have to believe that every one of you would agree with me wholeheartedly that a person that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior was given grace, was given mercy. It was bestowed upon them that were unworthy, bestowed upon them that did not deserve it, bestowed upon them who basically rejected Jesus Christ all the way up into the time they got saved. How many of them How many of us, the grace that was bestowed upon us was in vain? The quietness is good for my heart. Because I got to be honest with you. There's many times when God's grace being bestowed on me turned out to be in vain. Not all the time. There's times when I serve Jesus Christ. But I must be honest with you. There are times that I waste. There are times that the grace that He's given me was bestowed in vain. There's times when Paul is crying out to you right now. You must understand, Paul is crying out to you to realize what you have has been given to you out of the abundant grace of Jesus Christ, the abundant mercy of your Savior. Have we ever done anything in our lives that would merit Him to get rid of us? Have we ever done anything in our lives? Because the Bible says that all of our righteousnesses, not righteousness, righteousnesses, pluralized, all of our righteousnesses, all of the things that we think we're good at, all of the things that we think we did great, all of the things that we think we have to offer are but filthy rags in the sight of Jesus Christ. So those things that are bestowed upon us for free, we must realize that it is the grace of God that we get those things. Not one person in this room is deserving of one thing that God gives us. Not one. I am what I am because of the grace of God. Because of the grace of God, I get to preach this book. Because of the grace of God, I get to be associate pastor of this church. Almost 18 years you've put up with me. But by the grace of God, there go you. Kenny, quit doing that so fast. He never amens anything until I say something against myself. He's like, amen, brother. Let me explain something to you. What we have here is a lack of thankfulness. What we have here is a lack of acknowledgement. What we have here is a thought process thinking higher of ourselves than we ought to think. We ought to think more soberly and realize, glory to God, we got something to shout about. He got us up this morning. Yeah. Hey, listen, He gave us sun today in Ravenna. Woohoo! We got one saved yesterday, but by the grace of God. He gave us the ability to go out and walk. Not everybody has that ability. But it's funny, the people that can't walk seem to do the most walking. Monty Watts, he never sat down, for goodness sake, while he was here. I don't know if you noticed that. The man was walking everywhere. And I'm going to tell you right now, that to me is an encouragement on one side and a discouragement on the other. How many times do I sit in my chair? Oh, man, I'm exhausted. Hey, but by the grace of God, there go I. He's given me the legs to walk, the voice to speak, the eyes to see, the ears to hear. I should be out soul winning. I should be out telling somebody. I should be out using the grace. I should be out using the grace, so the grace that He's bestowed upon me has not been bestowed in vain. It's like giving somebody a gift. Let's say somebody gave Cotiver the ability to cure cancer. I hate cancer. I hate it. It's like him having the ability and then keeping it and never giving it out. Never giving it out. The Lord bestowed upon him the great gift of being able to heal the people that need it, and he keeps it to himself. It was bestowed upon him in vain. Christian, you've been given something a whole lot better than a cure for cancer. You've been given a cure for hell. You've been given a cure for flames. You've been given a cure for the worst sunburn you ever have in your entire life. You've been given a cure for what ails people in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Was the grace bestowed on you in vain? You are what you are because of Him. You are a saved person because of Him. Because of Him. Was the grace that was bestowed upon you, my friend, was it bestowed upon you in vain? Did Jesus decide to give it to the wrong person? Jesus doesn't make a mistake. And if He doesn't make a mistake, then it must be on our end. He doesn't make a mistake. He saved my soul. And what's funny is, Brother Rod, if I would review my life, I would say, Jesus, that was a mistake. If you'd be honest, you'd put the rewind button on your life and you'd say, Jesus, did you mess up? Amen. Jesus didn't mess up. Jesus saved you because He knew that if He bestowed grace on you, it wouldn't be in vain. If He bestowed grace upon you, Brother Cotiver, it's not going to be in vain. Because what He bestows on you, you're going to give out. You're going to serve Him and you're going to do what God wants you to do. Why? Because He bestowed grace on you and He doesn't make a mistake. Listen, look at this. I am what I am because of Him, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Look at this last part. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. This is what happens, and I'm all done. We taste of this wonderful grace. How many have ever tasted the grace of God? Oh, my goodness gracious. Man alive, if you give God the credit and just sit back and watch God work for 5 minutes, you'd be so surprised at what God can do in your life. I don't know why things happen the way that they do, but it seems like we spend more time of our lives looking on the bad. We are wreck on the highway Christians. If you drive the whole way to Toledo accident free, which is a miracle for the vast majority of us, we say, man, I did a good job driving. Man, Mary Reinhart used to tickle my heart. She drove 6 miles an hour wherever she went. If she hit something full force head on, her bag wouldn't even implode. I'm telling you right now, I guarantee you, she could hit the most frail person in the whole wide world going at Mary's top speed, and they wouldn't even bruise over it. The people would scurry to get out of church that were going her direction so they wouldn't get behind her. She could run over a squirrel, and the squirrel would say, what was that? But Mary would sit in her car. I've heard her do it. Every time before she went somewhere, she would sit in her car, and she would say, Lord, please get me to where I'm going safely. Lord, please help me. Help the people around her. That's who we should have been helping. Lord, please help me. Do you know why? Because there was a grace that was bestowed upon that lady, and she didn't want it to be put there in vain. She gave God the credit for every single thing that ever happened in her life. God, thank you for doing that for me. In the bad times as well as the good. Nobody had worse diabetes than Mary Reinhart. Nobody. If she smelled sugar, her sugar shot up 150 points. Nobody. Nobody had it worse than her. Every day she had a smile. Every day she cared about people. Every day God bestowed a grace on her that was not in vain. And then at the end of her life, yet not I, but Him. See, what you must understand is this. God did not save you because it was a mistake. God saved you because He knew He could use you. He knew he could use you, each one to your several ability. Look that verse up. That's a good one. Each one being used of their several abilities. Not everybody has the same ability. Not everybody has the ability to preach. Not everybody has the ability to teach. Not everybody has the ability to do these things. But God has given you an ability of some sort. Did he put it on you in vain? I don't believe so. I believe he gave it to you because he knew you'd use it. I got to be honest with you. There's been times in my life where I didn't use it. That's on me. That's me saying I am what I am because of me. Using his grace, saying I am what I am because of him. I think Mark has a wonderful voice and a great talent to lead the choir. He is what he is because of God. Not because of him. Look at him. Listen to me. I'm no different. I'm no different. Amen. I am a sinner. And again, I say this wherever I go. I believe I am the chiefest. I look at my sins. I can't believe I did that. I look at my sin over and over and God reminds me, you dope. That's Greek. He reminds me of those things. Why? Because I don't have any trouble thinking of myself lower than I ought to think. I look at me and say, Jesus, why? Why? Man, and you think the older you get, the more mature you get as a Christian, the less mistakes you make. That's dumb. You just see your mistakes more. I am what I am because of him. And the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I want to serve more. Look at what Paul says here. You've got to catch this now. You've got to catch this because he makes this statement. This statement is very intriguing to me. I labored more abundantly than they all. Paul worked hard. Look at what it says, though. He did not say, I worked hard, therefore I know God didn't make a mistake. He says, I worked hard, that way I know Jesus saved the right fella. He didn't say, I work hard, and you know what? I am a hard worker, and you ought to bless me and think highly of me. What did he say? It says, I was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You must understand something. I'm trying to encourage you today to understand he saved you for a purpose. He didn't save you just to fill a seat in heaven. He didn't save you just so you could warm the pew here. He didn't save you just so you could say you're saved. He saved you because he bestowed some grace upon you so you can labor. Amen. So you can do something for Jesus Christ, the one that's given you all freely. Amen. I'm telling you today, the grace he gave you was not in vain. Amen. It was not in vain. He doesn't make a mistake. You can take him at his word. Hey, Tim, he bestowed grace on you, brother. It wasn't in vain because he knows that only you can do what he's asked you to do. I've said that lots of times in here. I have. There's a job that only Dave Ballard can do that not anybody else can do. He's bestowed a grace on me, and that grace was not in vain. He saved me. I want to do all that I can. I want to labor more. I want to work harder. And I'm all done. I am what I am because of him. Yet not I, but his grace. He does not make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake saving you. Don't look at me and say that I can't. Then you're calling God a liar. That's fighting words for him. He actually put verses in the Bible that speak against that. He cannot lie. I hear preachers, it's against his nature. No, he can't. He can't. He didn't make a mistake with you. Do you know what kind of hope that gives me? You say, I've been away a while. So have every one of us. I've done wrong things. You're a sinner. I'm not excusing what you've done. But what I am saying is this. God didn't make a mistake. Get to work. Forget what has been behind you. If anybody had the right to hold on to the past, it was Paul. Because now he's preaching to the very people that he persecuted and killed. If anybody had the right, it was Paul. And Paul said, the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Yeah. I thank God I'm saved. Yeah. It's all him. But by the grace of God, there go I. I am what I am because of him. I go forth and labor, yet not I, but him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, that you would bestow grace on anybody is amazing. But you looked down and you saw this old wretched sinner, knowing. And Lord, I talk to you about this all the time. Lord, I got saved at 11 years old. Lord, you knew what I was going to do for the next several years of my life. You knew that. Nothing's ever occurred to you. Yet you still bestowed grace upon me then. Lord, I don't understand it. But I sure am glad that you did. And I'm so thankful that you don't make a mistake. So, Lord, as I look through this scripture, I've got to believe, Lord, that you've got something for each and every one of us in this room that are saved. I've got to believe, Lord, that it was not a small matter that you died for them. Lord, I've got to believe that each and every person in this room today has a job to do according to their several ability, no matter where they're from, no matter what they're doing, no matter who they are or who they were. I don't believe I'm looking out over any person right now that is worse off than Saul was. The question I have to ask myself, Lord, am I treating your grace as it was in vain? Or am I going to work and do things for you, Lord, because I believe that you didn't bestow the grace in vain? Lord, I don't know why you do the things that you do. But Lord, you saved this person right here. You saved me for a purpose. I am what I am. And that grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I want to labor more abundantly, but not me, not me. Don't let it be about me. Let it be about you. Lord, I'm praying today, if there's somebody in there that does not know you as Savior, let them understand that there is an amount of grace that you just can't even measure that is available to them that call upon you. Please, Lord, let them accept you today as their personal Savior and then get in the fight. Because you saving them is not an accident. Lord, be with us today. Let us sample of your grace often. Let us give you credit in everything, even the bad things that help to make us better servants. Lord, be with us today and help us to look to you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. We don't deserve anything from him. Yet he gives us all things freely. How often do we ask for them? How often do we even want them? We complain to God often about him not doing things in our lives and him not doing things for us, and we complain. But what do we do for him? He saved you, my friend. That was not an accident. He didn't save you because he saw some person that he could not use. He saved you because you are precious to him. And he knew that you would do something with it. He knew it. As I read this verse, it gives me great hope. It gives me great hope that the grace that he bestowed upon me was not in vain. I hope and pray that today you can get your heart to an understanding that Jesus loves you so very, very much. He's willing to let you ignore your wasted years. He's willing to write off the wasted years. He's willing to write off your wasted days and wasted moments. He's willing to say, yes, those are in the past. You can't get them back, but I've got something for you now. He's willing to continue bestowing grace upon the people that don't deserve it. That's what grace is. That's what mercy is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just wonder today, how many know that you know that you know that you know 100% that if you died right now, this moment, if you gave up the ghost right now, that it would go right to heaven and you would be in heaven with Jesus Christ? You've had that grace bestowed and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know for sure, 100%, put your hands up real big and tall all over the room. Put your hands up real big and tall. You may put them down. How many can say, you know what, brother? I don't know. I am not sure. And if you're under the sound of my voice this morning and you don't know for sure, there's grace that's ready. And let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't make any mistakes. It's not a mistake that you're here today. It's not a mistake that you came by. It's not a mistake that you heard this today. By the way, the first part of this chapter is about salvation. It's no mistake. That's the greatest grace you can ever accept. The greatest mercy you can ever accept is Jesus dying for you. It's not difficult. I hear people all the time, well, I got to get right before I get saved. No, you don't. You do not. You're never right. But Jesus wants you just the way you are, and it's not a mistake. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So simple. So if you don't know, you're not 100% sure, but you would like to know, I promise I won't come to you. I promise I won't embarrass you, but let me explain something to you. You need to get that settled today. Don't you wait another minute. That's one amount of grace that you need right now. And if you don't know that you're going to heaven, I want you to put your hand up real big and tall right now. Put it up. Don't be afraid of it. I'm not going to come to you. I won't tackle you. Jesus might. Then every person in here saved. Ha, guess what? Jesus didn't make a mistake with you. He saved the right gal. He saved the right fella. He saved the right teenager. Was it bestowed on you in vain? I don't think so. I think he's got a job waiting for you. I think we just ought to get to it. I think we ought to care enough to do it. He doesn't make a mistake. And he didn't make a mistake saving me. And I'm so thankful for that. Dear Jesus, I'm asking you to bless these people today. Let them know that you love them. Lord, for you to show love to me makes no sense. The times that I ignore you and the times that I deny you and the times that I don't tell people about you, it makes no sense that you love me. But you don't make a mistake, and you love me anyhow. Lord, you continue to bestow grace upon me. You continue to give me things, and it's never ending what you do for me. Oh, I would to God that my work and my labor would be never ending for you. Yet not I, but you that work through me. You that work with me. Oh God, let us not think higher of ourselves than we ought to think, but Lord, let us at least realize that you didn't make a mistake saving us. Let us get to work. Let us realize what we're here for. And let us praise you every day for you saving our souls. Oh God, we're going to get to be in heaven someday, and I'm looking forward to that. There's going to be perfect streets of gold and wonderful times together. There's no sickness, no pain, no knee replacements, no cancer, no funerals, and best of all, no more goodbyes. Never being without you. Lord God, help us today. Help us today to look to you and serve you so your grace won't be in vain. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together, please. Miss Debbie, why don't you sing that song? If you've got the microphone, Johnny, turn that on so she can sing that. The invitation is now open. Please come. Come to the altar. That's what it's here for. Let's come to the altar and get right this morning. I thank you. There's never enough words that we could say to thank you. But I can't wait to spend an eternity trying. Lord, you've taken these people, in my opinion, the greatest people in the whole wide world, but still a sinful people.
And you died for them, loving them and caring about them because you don't make any mistakes. And Lord, I've got to believe that we can take great hope from that. You've made me your child. I can't do anything but praise you. Thank you for dying for me. Lord, let us go out and be more vigilant in being Christian people, seeing needs and filling them, telling people about you and passing out tracts, and realizing that this is truly not our home. Someday we're going to spend eternity together forever. Glory to God, we're so happy about that. Lord, be with us today. And Lord, bring us back at the appointed hour tonight and be with us all throughout the day. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.